We're ready for our final presentation. I know that my colleague Karen out there is going to get everybody to sign the sign-in sheet, so I appreciate people's compliance with that. Our last speaker is Erin Knight. She's a doctoral student at the University of Delaware, so we've had now two representatives from the fine state of Delaware. She received her MPH from the University of Minnesota, and is currently, her doctoral studies are based at the in urban affairs and public policy. And so, welcome.
Thank you. As I mentioned, doctoral student. I'm part of the Health Services Policy Research Group at the University of Delaware, and just want to acknowledge Dr. Paul Solano, who's the director of our group, and Mary Jo McDuffie is another research associate who's worked with us on this project. We're going to switch gears a little bit here. We've heard about environmental exposures. We've heard a little bit about behavior. Our study is particularly interested in policy variables, how different state policies vary, and how those variations, differences in state policies, may be related to differences in child well-being, particularly kids count indicators. And this project was funded in part from the Casey Foundation, Annie Casey Foundation, who, as many of you probably know, have a wonderful database of kids count indicators. I have no disclosures. As I mentioned, the purpose of our study was really to look at differences in child well-being across states, how differences related to insurance, in particular public health insurance for low-income children, may be related to variation in kids count indicators. There's great variation in child well-being, and actually not a lot of literature on how policy, state policies, may be related to these differences. And then we're also very interested in other policy variables, and this is exploratory in nature, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. We know a lot about demographics and outcomes, but we really wanted to explore how policy in particular may be related to some of these differences. A little bit of background. I'm sure most of you probably have heard of Kids Count. It's a national and state-by-state project of the Casey Foundation. It tracks the status of children by state, but also in the U.S. as a whole. I believe it goes back to 1990, maybe even before for some variables. And it covers a range of indicators, economic well-being, education, physical well-being, social, and other variables as well. Our approach for this study is based in large part on a recent paper, and I'm really sorry I didn't have the citation here because I think it's a really interesting paper by O'Hare and Lee. I think they're part of the Casey Foundation, actually, and they looked at a range of policy and demographic variables similar to what we're doing. They focused on one year, and what we've tried to do is expand their work, add more policy variables, and also expand the time frame. So we're looking at 10 years worth of data across all 50 states, and actually we hope to work with them in the future on kind of refining our analysis here. The basis of our focus on health insurance is that, as past research shows, greater access and use of primary care has been linked to positive outcomes in adults as well as children. Obviously, the central mechanism that provides access to care in the U.S. is insurance, and for low-income children, generally Medicaid and SCHIP, and so you'll see some of those variables in just a minute. Also, as many of you probably know, the debate around SCHIP and SCHIP reauthorization is ever present, and we hope to be able to contribute to that debate a little bit. Clearly, I think people recognize the value of SCHIP in increasing access to care, decreasing the number of uninsured children, but little has been done, I think, around outcomes related to SCHIP. And although we're not there yet, we hope that maybe eventually we'll be able to contribute to that discussion. And then this issue of the social and political determinants of health, I think, you know, we heard on Sunday Dr. Michael Marmot talk about this growing recognition worldwide around the social determinants of health, and I think there's some momentum in the U.S. around this issue, but I'm particularly interested in sort of this lack of appreciation here in particular around the political precursors of the determinants of health. So what policies impact demographics, which then obviously impact health outcomes. So we purposely included a number of exploratory variables here as well. Our methods, we are basically putting together a very large database. We've selected 13 kids count indicators among their broader list of indicators. As I mentioned, insurance, policy, and demographic variables. We have 50 states, most variables over 11-year period. We're using OLS regression to explore associations between these variables. Obviously, a sort of exploratory in nature. It's an ecological study with the state as the unit of analysis. Really a sort of a heuristic analysis in that this is our first cut at the data. It's not predictive, and I'm not going to be able to obviously say anything about any causal relationships. These are a list of dependent variables for the study. This is a subset of kids count indicators that we believed were most likely to be related to insurance coverage. And so this is the full list. I'm just going to report on three today, infant mortality rate, low birth weight babies, and the teen birth rate. In terms of independent variables, as I mentioned, our purpose was really to get at policy variables to the extent possible and also see if different specifications of policy variables, of these independent variables, made a difference. So, for instance, we looked at a number of variables that were related to income, median family income, median household income, poverty rate, the Gini index for inequality, a number of variables, and also, again, the policy precursors or related policies, such as we're interested in the earned income tax credit. We're interested in whether or not states had a personal income tax. We're interested in things like food stamp participation rates. And you'll see in a minute how we sort of narrow down the list. But similarly, when it came to insurance variables, we were interested in SCHIP and Medicaid eligibility. We're interested in things like copayments, premiums, cost sharing, things that might be barriers to using insurance. We were also looking at, it sounds like a big brainstorming session, and that's exactly what it was. I think we actually started with 30 variables when we applied for funding, and as we started building the database, I think we actually got up to more than 60. I think we had like 70 variables as we were going through the literature, seeing what other people did, and we would sort of think about, well, you know, what if we looked at it this way or that way? So eventually we ended up having to collapse variables. In terms of eligibility, for instance, for Medicaid and SCHIP, it really didn't matter to us whether or not kids were covered through a Medicaid expansion program or a standalone SCHIP program. We just wanted to know what that maximum eligibility was. So we would collapse some variables that way. Unfortunately, we had to eliminate some variables due to missing values, SCHIP premiums being one of those that we're still working on trying to get quality data because there's been some, the O'Hare and Lee paper that I mentioned had some interesting findings around premiums, and we just haven't been able to get that for all 10 years, so we're working on that. Clearly, with 70 or 60 plus independent variables, there's a lot of multicollinearity, and we eliminated many variables due to a high variance inflation factor. We used what I think is a relatively conservative cutoff point of 5 for the VIF, and then we ended up with sort of what we call our standard set of 20 or so independent variables that we used in all the regression models. So this is that standard set, and I will admit that this is still a work in progress. Our report to Casey is actually due in a couple of weeks, and we're furiously trying to sort of think about, you know, the implications of these, how some variables may be better than others. You'll see that most of these are interval scale. We do have 4 categorical variables. The 2 regions there, the Midwest and the South, are dummy variables. The Northeast region had a very high VIF, so we dropped the Northeast, and the West region was our reference category there. Personal income tax and earned income tax credit were our other categorical variables. And federal minimum wage was, initially we were looking for states that exceeded the federal minimum wage, and actually we're still working on that variable. For this, for what I'm going to report right now, this is just the difference in the minimum wage over time. So here's some of our findings. Teen birth rate, as I mentioned, we use this full set of 20 independent variables in our model, and these are just those that were significant. As you can see, we had an F value of 78.5 and an adjusted R-square of 0.76. You can see some of the control variables or demographics in there, the percent of children under 18, the geographic variables, including the percent urban, as well as the poverty rate, all significantly related to teen birth rate, which really wasn't surprising to us. But in terms of the policy variables, again, here we weren't terribly surprised to see that SCHIP enrollment was negatively related to teen births and that the percent uninsured was positively related with teen births. But I think the most interesting variables in some ways are these other income variables or what we sort of consider as income variables, the earned income tax credit and the food stamp participation rate as well as the education expenditures. I remember the EITC was a dummy variable, so we interpret this as those states with an EITC have a lower teen birth rate than those without. And we're not, exactly sure what this means. Both food stamp participation rate and educational expenditures are positively related to teen births. And, of course, I have to remind myself and others that this is not in any way causal or predictive, and we really can't tell from this analysis any more about the relationship other than the fact that, which direction they're moving. I was at a session yesterday, a similar study where they were looking at policy variables and substance use. And the speaker, I think, made kind of an insightful point that's relevant here. What she said was that we often view policies as influencing outcomes. And, of course, that was sort of our rationale for some of the policies we included. But, in fact, oftentimes policies are implemented as a result of concern over teen birth rate, for instance, and then it becomes sort of cyclical and hard to tease this out. This also, of course, assumes that policymaking reflects this understanding of health, which I'm a little skeptical about. Our findings related to infant mortality, we were confused about this first variable here, and again, not really sure how to interpret it, but the idea that private insurance coverage is positively related to infant mortality. In Delaware, we have a particularly high infant mortality rate, and there has been talk over the years. Walter may be able to talk better about this, but there's been some research around the idea that higher income women, fully insured women, are getting more fertility treatment, having more multiple births, and that this is related to infant mortality. And while I think there may be something going on there, I'm a little skeptical about this sort of relationship at this level, so I'm not sure what to think. I see the regions of the country are significant again, and of course I remind you that the poverty rate and the percent minority are control factors, which have often been shown to be very strongly related to infant mortality and some of these other outcomes. I do want to point out, though, that the percent minority is a variable we're not real happy with. We wanted to have percent black and look at some of the other race and ethnicity groups in the states, and we're just having a little trouble getting good quality data for 10 years in all states, but I think we need to drill down on that a little bit because the findings aren't as strong and consistent as some of the other literature in this regard. Again, here, EITC is negatively related with infant mortality, and I just want to mention here that we did, when we ran the model for infant mortality, we ran it twice, once with the regular infant mortality rate, and then once as a log odds, which is consistent with the literature, and the findings actually weren't different at all. Same exact significant variables, and just the parameter estimates were a little bit different. In terms of low birth weight, this one confuses us even more. we're seeing some of the same variables again. I'm really interested in this EITC variable, and I'd like to spend a little bit more time thinking about that from a conceptual basis and exploring that in more detail. Again, the private insurance variable was significant, not in the positive direction. Not sure what to think about that, though a pretty low parameter estimate there. Also new here is this negative relationship with personal income tax. What we see here is that states with a personal income tax have a lower rate of low birth weight babies. Not sure what to think. So you can probably tell by now we are lacking in a strong sort of theoretical base or conceptual framework for many of the variables here. But in fact, this was part of our purpose. I mean, we really wanted to cast a wide net in terms of policy variables. We wanted to provoke some thinking, create a large database that could be used in the future for other kinds of study. And this is really just kind of a first cut at this. We hope to refine our analysis over time. But I do want to talk about some more of the limitations, because obviously there are quite a few. Aggregation effects is clearly important. I'm not sure state-level analysis is appropriate for some of the variables. We're looking at both the dependent variables and the independent variables. But given our charge here to work with kids count indicators, which for the most part are at the state level, this was our starting point. We have not yet tested for interactions, although we plan to do that, and I think we may find some interesting things there as well. Missing variables is something I'm concerned about, although, like I said, we started with 70 some odd variables. Some of them we dropped because we didn't have quality data. Some of the cost sharing around insurance is one that I'm particularly interested in, and we're working on that. I also think, despite having, you know, so many independent variables, it's still very likely that we're missing some important ones. And we're spending a lot of time with colleagues talking about what those might be, and also just how the different variables are measured and specified. So what is the best way to look at issues of income inequality? We'll be testing some more of those. The causal theories I talked about. The other thing is that our next cut around this data is looking at lag structures. The literature is sort of mixed on this, and so we haven't done that yet, but it's certainly something that we've been thinking about. But despite these limitations, we're excited to share this. We believe that kids count indicators provide a great snapshot of maternal and child health in every state. They show trends over time. It's a rich data source and a place where I think there's a lot of opportunity to try to better understand both the relationship between demographics, but also policy level variables and child well-being. And I think we have a great opportunity here. We're excited about this database that we're building, and we're excited about the opportunity just to talk about some of these policy variables, question some of these things, and inspire some of this dialogue. And I just want to thank the Casey Foundation again for their support of this project. And that's about it.
Okay. shores. Marginally, that's what in Delaware. Right. At the margins, that's what they were finding in Delaware. Part of the increase in mortality was related to just older women having been.
I was just wondering if that asks something considerable. Because I'm in Utah.
Okay.
And our SCHIP program for a number of years had enrollment open and closed.
Okay.
So there was a closed period. I mean, when it's expanded Medicaid, they can't.
Right.
But when it's state, they can do however they want.
Right.
So
okay.
Because
they
were doing open and closed because of the money. I don't know if you were.
Yeah, that's a good point. But we do have
and I know there's a not that many states.
We do have one of our variables, which is a variable around whether or not there was a Medicaid expansion.
But
you know what, you make a good point.
So I'm just looking at it from a political aspect the fact that they for a while, we're open now, but for a while, there was 2 months open, and then it closed, and then you couldn't get on for another year.
It's interesting. The reason we were initially looking at, or
it's
interesting.
Nice that you did this.
Oh, thank you very much.
Good.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, the kids count data is always fascinating. And also looking at some of those broader variables, which is, I think, something we need to be looking at.
Yeah.
The problem is the quality, the availability and the quality and all that.
Well, as the graduate student was tracking down this data for 3 months.
Oh, yeah.
It sounded great at the beginning, and then you just don't realize how hard it is. Even
overwhelmingly.
Well, and there's a lot of conflicting data sources. You know, the NGO, NGA had, a report on eligibility levels that differed from the state plans. These are both, pretty much the same sources, and they're conflicting. So, but we really want to do it. And the reason we were interested in that initially, the Medicaid expansion was the idea that there's going to be benefits.
And there is,
although I think what we found is by now most of them are pretty comprehensive. We thought about looking at just adding whether or not a state offers dental care. Should that be?
Mm-hmm.
We looked at enrollment paths. We looked at the waiting period before you can enroll for crowd out. So we had.
Do you have WIC data? I was just wondering why you didn't use WIC data and you used food stamps.
Right.
Yeah.
Related to. So I was wondering about that too.
Yeah.
You know, and if you
could, you know, do any kind of linkage things. Because, again, WIC eligibility is 185%.
Right.
You know, and that would include almost everybody who got in there.
Now, does that vary by state?
I don't know. I think it's federal mandate, 185%. And, you know, each state's going to vary whether they're the expansion or the standalone program.
Right.
Right.
See, because ours only goes up to 200% in the state program.
Right.
And so,
well, I mean, and one of the things is your position. I mean, I don't want to get into this thing because there's so much. You know, I kind of, like, by doing this, you know, all these various states, like my husband, we're moving to Minnesota or we're moving, you know.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, one of the things we were trying to get at, which I don't think we did yet, but what I would like to add is that there's definitely something about this.
Well, in a reserve unit, it's about a little bit, but.
And I think there's something here. We really need to spend more time on it. And we just haven't had a chance to do that.
Oh, hey, I'm sure it's very time-consuming.
Right.
You know,
but I like your ideas, and I had not thought about WIC. And it's a good reminder to go back and perhaps not collapse those variables.
And I don't know.
Yeah.
Take a look. But to me, that was a major point where it wasn't open all the time.
Right.
And the state decided the reason it went, you know, state CHIP program was because they didn't want to offer everything and expanded Medicaid could that would be too inclusive. That was one of the main reasons in the beginning that they went.
We weren't even capturing them so much unless they were recalled and actually on active duty, then we would have their data.
So I'm retired now. So I'm coming to this and, you know, bringing all my many years of working with, because I worked with our maternal and child health was the group that wrote the original grant. And I worked with myself, the second year they were there, when they had to report on their very first data findings.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they didn't know anything about it because they were hiring me to talk about it.
Right.
So, you know, I kind of worked with the Medicaid CHIP and got, you know, really great electronic access where, you know, we can pull out a lot of that stuff. And knowing the political areas around it, open, closed, and
it's funny, I was talking to one of my professors not too long ago, and I was saying, you know, something about Minnesota. Who wants to speak about Minnesota? She said, I mean, she said, but truly, there's something about certain places, whether it, is it chicken and egg? Is it that the community values drive the policy, or vice versa, or, you know,
well, then, you know, I've been in Utah for, you know, 27 years. When you look at how it ranks health-wise, we still get a lot, you know.
Right.
Wow, I needed that.
If it's stuff, you know, granted, it's a Republican state.
So I'm going to contact, I'm going to go back to the office in a little bit.
70% Mormon, cultural values,
you know. Where are you?
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, so think about some of those, because I think that they blend in here in terms of what you're looking at.
Thanks
so much.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for talking to you.
Don't make a special trip, just try to coordinate.
I have her phone number, I have her cell phone.
Oh, you have it?
Yeah. I haven't run across her at all.
I thought she was in here, so that's why I was going to miss.
She's still in it. I don't know where we're going.
Because I have to figure out.
We don't know where she's going to be, do we?
She's going to be here.
But we don't know, like, what spot.
She won't be open until 9:30. She's going to be
find out maybe where that is. Like, is it in the convention center?
You don't have a number, what do you do?
Have you done something at 9:30? It takes longer than 30 minutes.
How about coming here? How about this room?
This room? I was late because I didn't know how far it was.
Perfect timing.
It had to be the last.
I talked to Gia yesterday. I'm like, it is. Anybody who comes there is motivated to come because it is at the end. I did notice that there are two more rooms.
Right,
it could have been C or C.
I came
but
right corner.
I came here first yesterday and I was like, oh my god. Where am I going?
So, okay, so if you have her number, maybe we can call her.
Okay, and ask her what where she's right going to be. And then I'll plan on getting her in the morning. And if not, I'll talk to you and I'll let you know.
You have my number?
Yes.
Okay. Let me know, leave a message where I'm supposed to be.
Were you in this morning or no?
Yeah.
I will be someplace until 9:20.
That's when 9:20.
That's when Cynthia's last presentation is.
Oh, that's right. I'll be where you are. I'll probably be where you are.
I was at, I found a way to see my
on?
Register. How am I doing?
That's how you want it.
Because I looked on the website.
I'm
actually signed in as a guest.
So crazy.
It's only $200.
We have an instructor.
I called it.
Yeah, registration.
So if you want, we can give Heather a call, and then you can go home.
I don't
want
to
hear about
it.
Awesome presentation, by the way. She was good. Very, very well. She seemed very natural.
Yeah. It was like engaged someone.
So I just felt progressively worse.
You can't let her
cross
the 30 minutes.
Finally got you. Yeah, I'm just glad I didn't get the flu thing yesterday because I would have blamed all of this on that.
No.
Completely got you.
Although I'd be off it.
Everybody's
right.
Feeling
I guess
great.
I gotta get
you
back.
You were
so.
Back.
I just
saw
Mesa. Now I see you.
You saw Chris's thing. Do you want me to call him?
Chris Reddick.
No, let him sit a little bit. That's we'll talk about
the line.
Have you ever, like the line community, the warfighter?
Yeah.
We'll talk Thursday.
Has anybody ever had an email if you hit reply? I mean, I can see if it was just me writing to him that it would go to junk email. I think that was just a slam on us.
It was. That's
general.
What I made a smart out comment about to Carl.
But it was a reply to his email. That's what I was so
let him sit on it. You
angry
know what?
That
we don't
junk. That, so he claims.
We don't respond to him because he will let the leadership ask us that question. It's obvious that he's not on the same page. Let him.
In the whole, I thought active duty went through the overseas screening population too. Well, they do.
But
it's
been another
event.
He sent one. He sent one to me.
Oh, he sent the one to all.
Oh yes, because he replies to everyone certain times and then just replies to sender another time.
It's not that. It's a different Chris.
Right.
He missed the whole. It's the reference group. You know, when we're comparing to overseas dependent spouses, they're different.
We'll write a paper. Actually, that'll flesh out a lot of our different ideas.
I'll cautiously talk to the line. Oh, I still have enough information to actually talk to them.
This thing is so politically charged. Just, we did the right thing. We got a good report. Just let them chew it up. All right, I've got a script.
Yeah.
This sheet right here
was very
saved
helpful.
Me so much time. That's awesome.
You can't navigate.
I would have never found anything if I didn't have that little shoe.
That's what you almost have to find a section that you're interested in and then just stick with that. You can't really go back and forth.
All right, I'm in one, so I will suggest.
See you.
Thank you. Let me know, but if you slip through it, that's good too.
Okay, I just wanted to ask you.